to the French chef. I'm Julia Child.
Next week, foodies all around the world will raise a glass, make a toast, and pay tribute to cooking legend Julia Child. Julia would have been 100 years old on Wednesday, but today you can't surf your TV without seeing food channels, cooking shows, and top chefs. But back in 1963, when Julia's show The French Chef debuted on WGBH, she was a pioneer. And all this month, WGBH is celebrating the 100th birthday of Julia Child on all of our media platforms, radio, TV, and online. Today, a conversation with her very first director, Russ Morash. I was curious, what was it like to meet Julia for the first time?
I met her on the telephone. This woman who sounded a little bit like Tallulah Bankhead with a two-pack-a-day Marlboro habit wheezed at me that she would require an omelet pan on a show. Thus, she was in desperate need of a hot plate on the set.
When you flip anything, you just have to have the courage of your convictions, particularly if it's sort of a loose mass like this. Well, that didn't go very well. See, when I flipped it, I didn't have the courage to do it the way I should have. But you can always pick it up, and if you're alone in the kitchen, who is going to see?
She was at that point living in Boston, but she was appearing at WGBH's I've Been Reading program. I never saw the program that she was doing on I've Been Reading. It wasn't my program. Nor did the other executives at WGBH ever see that program, as far as I know.
When GBH decided it would like to enlarge its audience a little bit, because it was very academic at the beginning, they asked for a science show and then for an art show, and then they asked me if I'd do a cooking show. So I'd never done television before, but we did one anyway, and that was The French Chef, and that became very popular because it came out just at the right time.
Can you tell us what that first program was like when you were working with her?
Well, the first of the pilot programs was utter chaos, and we had to find and scrounge sets for her, which we did. We found a kitchen, a fake kitchen, albeit, at the Boston Gas Company headquarters in downtown Boston. There was no sink, for example. Of course, the gas stove worked great, but that's about the only thing that did. And we were faking it. We hardly knew what we were doing. We were working with cameras that you would laugh at today. Think of a refrigerator on a dolly. That's sort of what we had, and a bad dolly at that, a sticky wheel dolly. So we had plenty of technical problems on our plate. But Julia was perfectly organized. She had written down the things that she wanted to say and wanted to, well, at least her actions. And thank goodness for that, because we had limited rehearsal time with her.
I'm using white pepper here because I don't want any little black specks. And then a little bit of nutmeg, just a little tiny bit. There's going to be some cheese that goes into this. And nutmeg is always nice with cheese. Now, that's all there is to the sauce paste.
There was no tape recording for all practical purposes. The tapes could not be edited in those days. So we had to do everything live, basically, on tape, and go for these 30-minute takes, which was a very difficult proposition for the uninitiated, and even the initiated.
Well, how did Julia hold up during all of this? She didn't give up, obviously.
No, she was incredibly durable. And if she had anything wrong with her, she never said anything to anybody.
Tell us a little bit more about what made her a success and what that might have taught you at the time as a television producer.
I came to understand that her natural ability lie in her incredible sense of taste. She could literally tell you what was missing from a recipe, a little of this or a little of that. Most of us are, the equivalent would be tone deaf, but we are taste deaf and would have grave difficulty in fixing a recipe. She didn't. She had that natural ability. She was, of course, taught by masters in France. She came from a very limited culinary background, let's say no culinary background, but with sufficient mentoring, she was able to become not only expert herself, but was what is called a master. She was able to teach others. And that takes a lot of imagination to imagine, for example, what someone needs to know to get through a fairly complicated recipe.
Now, see, at this point, do again this palm of the hand technique, pushing it out, and this gets the butter in. And if you happen to be doing this on a very hot day and your butter, after you've gotten it quite a bit more into the dough, and it begins to turn oily, simply put the whole business in the refrigerator for about 10 or 20 minutes until the butter is hardened.
But I also remember at the time there was some resistance to having Julia on the air. Some people who thought that she would not be taken seriously, that she wasn't in the mold of educational television.
I've read that. I think it's rubbish. We never saw really any of that. There was, I can think of one unnamed, I will not name this person, who was fairly vocal about Julia. After all, she wasn't French and she wasn't a chef. And that was about the extent of the knock on Julia in the 50 years that I knew her.
Then you can either cook them perfectly plain. You could use these for breakfast perfectly well, which would be nice. Or you can put all kinds of nice things in with them. One of the simplest things would be to put in a little bit of fresh cream. So put in about a tablespoon or two of heavy cream and then a little bit of pepper.
For the first time in my long career, and I was already at GBH 4 years before I got this assignment, when we would go out to restaurants, or we'd have friends, or go to friends' homes and so forth, or just in simple conversations with strangers who knew I was connected with Julia, there was a light bulb that went off. There was a smile that lit up that person's face as they asked about her. That it did not really happen with a lot of the other programs we were offering the public in those early days of educational television.
Have some whipped cream and strawberry. Vous allez avoir du sirop.
Du sirop, oui, le sirop est prêt.
Some leek.
Oui.
Stop.
Final thoughts about Julia as we celebrate the centennial of her birth?
There is one thing you should remember. She was a person who did not celebrate yesterday. She did not like to talk about yesterday, only about tomorrow and the next great recipe, food product, person, event, or fishing trip.
Well, thank you so much, Russ Morash, the original director for the first series of Julia Child's French Chef programs here on WGBH. Thanks for being with us.
You bet.
And next week marks two anniversaries of Julia Child's. Monday is the 8th year since her passing, Wednesday the 100th since her birth, and we're celebrating her legacy on all of the WGBH media platforms. Online, you can watch early episodes of The French Chef, see photos and tributes to Julia, plus check out her most popular recipes. Go to WGBHnews.org, and then on TV tomorrow, watch The French Chef Marathon from noon to 4 on WGBH Channel 2.
And now, if you've mastered the souffle and the egg yolk sauce, you're really a cook. So that's all for today. This is Julia Child. Bon appétit.
And you're listening to WGBH's Morning Edition.